Hello, and welcome to the PixiePearls.com podcast, episode 7, updates on past podcasts and the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. I'm going to start off the podcast by talking about a website that one of my listeners pointed me to. When I was doing my podcast listing off lots of different websites that have free patterns and yarn that I like, she mentioned Elan.com, E-L-A-N-N.com. I actually have checked out Elan.com before. I believe they have a free toe-up sock pattern that I've used, and I know they have some really cool yarn that's really inexpensive that people really love. And I believe some of the chick knits patterns are recommended to be knit in that yarn. I think there's a Ribby Cardi that they have a bunch of colorways that are recommended to knit that particular item from. So I am very familiar with Elan.com, and if you're not, I suggest you check it out because it's fairly popular and I think the yarn has a really good reputation, at least the stuff that's under their brand name. And then I think they actually sell a little bit of Rowan and a little bit of Debbie Bliss and a couple other brands of yarn. Speaking of buying yarn, if any of you have checked out my blog this week, you will have seen that earlier on Thursday or Friday, I bought some Handmaiden Sea Silk. I was very excited when I bought this yarn because it was in a colorway called Nova Scotia, and it was a beautiful shade of blue and green, of course, my favorite colors. And the eBay auction had a buy now for $33, and it pictured two different skeins of yarn. If I pronounced that right, not skeins, it's skeins. It had pictured two skeins of yarn in it, and I read very quickly. I was very excited. I'd read about the yarn, and I linked off a couple blogs, and I was like, ooh, I've got to get this, and I found it on eBay, and I thought, hey, $33 is a really good deal for enough yarn to make a shawl, and I knew that it came with a kit. Well, the next day, when I went back to read in eBay the description, because I was just going back to look at it, I realized it said, oh, this auction only includes one skein. Skein! One. It only includes one. And I was very upset, and I actually clicked that little link that says leave seller feedback or whatever, and I said to her, you know, I'm very upset, the title didn't say that it was one, and I thought it was two, and I want to know if you have another one, because I looked in her eBay store and I did not see another one. And she wrote back and said that she would take it back, the other one had sold, she was very sorry. One thing that she did say in the reply was that she was very hypoallergic to perfumes, and if I sent it back, to put it in a Ziploc bag, and da-da-da-da. So if she was having some tactic to have me not return it, it worked. But really, I think I would have kept it anyway, because it is like 500 meters. It's enough to complete a scarf with, and there's more chance of me completing a scarf than a shawl anyway, and it was just gorgeous, and I really wanted it. So I'm going to read the description to you that I got from handmaiden.ca. Sea Silk is a new silk blend hand-dyed for you by Handmaiden Fine Yarn. 70% silk combined with 30% sea cell in a lace weight yarn at 32 stitches across 4 inches. So what is sea cell? Sea cell is a cellulose-based fiber made from seaweed. That's right, seaweed. It is highly breathable and very soft. When worn, your skin's natural moisture will release magnesium, calcium, and vitamin E contained within the seaweed. It has anti-inflammatory properties and has been shown to protect the skin. Okay, so how could you not want to get yarn that had vitamin E in it and would protect your skin? It just sounded too cool to pass up, on top of the fact that it was beautiful and made of almost nearly all silk and in such a pretty colorway. But I think Handmaiden really dyes stuff really beautiful. So I promised myself I would not buy any more yarn before the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, but I had to, you know, be bad and buy that, and I haven't gotten anything else before or after that. Even on Saturday when I stopped by Quilted Hearts in Gainesville, Georgia, a little quilt slash yarn store, I did not buy any knitting paraphernalia, any yarn, any needles, nothing, though I did get a little bit of fabric to make my sister's new baby a quilt. So yeah, enough about money I should not have spent. So I had a little interesting factoid for you guys. I had a sock pattern that I was using this weekend to knit my Sockapalooza sock, and it actually said in the instructions, get ready to do the short row shaping for the heel. I have never done short rows before. I know they're really popular. I know that all socks do not use this method to create the shape of the heel at the bottom of the flap, but this particular one did, so I was very excited to have done some, you know, pseudo short row shaping for the first time, though I was not very happy with how it turned out. I think it's a very bulky heel. I'm a little frustrated with this sock, but I'm on a time crunch, so gonna have to stick with it. On top of that, I dropped some stitches today in the sock, and it's knit on size 0 needles in the koi goo, which is very tightly wrapped, and it's just been awful, and I could not get them back up, so I set it aside. I'll have more about that later. So onward to the updates. I have 2 updates for you guys. The first update is that I have another how-to. I wish I would have had this for last week's podcast, but I didn't discover it until Friday or Thursday. And I got myself an iPod. Well, okay, my husband got me an iPod, but I got to pick it out on the website and get it engraved on the back, and then he bought it for me. And I got the iPod that does the video and the pictures, and I was sitting there looking at it thinking, you know, I wonder if I could put my knitting patterns on here. That would be so great, because I had for a long time wanted to get a PDA, but all of them were just overkill and didn't read PDFs well anyway. I've given up on any small little computer type gadget being able to read PDFs, which would be my dream. So yeah, I digress. So I was thinking about that, and I was looking at the iPod, and I went to iLounge forums, which is a really good Apple forum, and I said, hey, can I read text files on my iPod? And someone wrote back and said, why, yes, you can. And they put a link to the Apple site with the instructions on how to do it. So you can go to podcast.pixiepearls.com, and I'll have the links to all the Apple stuff. And also my blog at pixiepearls.com has a little bit of info on it, and I have a photograph of the pattern being rendered on my iPod and how it looks. I am very impressed by this. It has to be a text file. If you have a photograph or JPEG image of a chart, you can put the chart on the iPod as well, and it's very crisp. I've heard some people complain about the backlight going out and stuff like that, but I'm not staring at my pattern the whole time I'm knitting, so I set the iPod there, I move the little scroller if I want the backlight to come on, I read my line, I go back to knitting, and it fades out on its own. I like the way it works. I find it very, you know, easy and not too intensive. The only pain in the butt part is that the files can't be over 4K, which is fairly small, so you have to make several text files. I had a sock pattern. I only had to make 2 files from it, and besides, I only really needed the second half of the pattern anyway because I was done with the first half. So it can get a little, it involves a little bit of work depending on what you really want to put in it, but for me, it's well worth it. It's really simple to just load it on there and view it, and I'm excited. I was doing the happy dance at the Northeast Georgia Knit Along Knit Group on Saturday. I was hyper, so excited, loving that I had my little sock pattern in my iPod. That was just a dream come true for me, short of being able to have a PDF in it, which of course you can't. So that is my update for the How To podcast. And now I'm going to move on to the update to the Knitting Controversies podcast. There was some updates to the Annie Modisette controversy that I thought would be nice to share for you who might not have kept up on that. And what basically happened was the store owner of the shop that Annie had been in, that Annie said had treated her poorly, blogged about it and linked to Annie's blog. So at that point, it didn't matter anymore if Annie said who it was publicly. So Annie then linked back to her. And eventually Annie did get a check back after that canceled check. She received another check, and this one was minus $20 for Kinko's and $2 for gas to Kinko's. It was interesting. You know, the whole thing, I was very fascinated with the whole controversy. It was interesting to watch it play out. There's a lot of controversy about whether Annie should have said anything and whether the blog owner of the shop should have said anything. But hey, it was like great entertainment for us knitters, so I enjoyed it. And plus, being in the Georgia area, it did affect me. So that's my update to that. And just so you know, Annie did not ever say the name of the store on her blog, but it wasn't very hard to figure out based on if you knew where she had been going on her travels. And I just didn't know if people had kept up on that, and I thought y'all might be interested in knowing what had happened. So that is the end of my catch-ups to the past podcasts. Moving right along, I would like to ask that if any of you out there would like to create shout-outs for your knitting groups or your knit-alongs, feel free to send me audio files as well as emails if you would like me to read the email on my podcast. So if you have a knit-along that you'd like to have other people join in on, you can do either of those things and I'll put it on the show. Or if you have a knitting group and you think some people in your area might possibly listen to this and would come to your knitting group, I'm more than happy to put it on here. I don't want to put any paid events if I can avoid it. I just don't want to get too commercial. I'd rather have it be more centric to the knitting community online and all us bloggers. That's what I want my podcast to represent. So if you have any of those, if you're going to do audio, make sure you're in a room where you can close the doors and you don't have any machines running, like a printer in the background or a washing machine in the background. You just want to lock yourself in a room, shut the doors, make the animals go outside, tell your husband to be quiet, or your children, or your significant other, and record it with as much silence around you as you can, and just talk clear and loud. And I'm not too picky about the audio quality, because I'm sitting here on my internal microphone. I think it'll sound all right. So if you'd like to send me those, just send them to podcast@pixiepearls.com. And the best time to send me emails is on the weekend, because sometimes they get lost in all the emails that I get. So the weekend is great because I have it right in my head Friday or Saturday. Okay, I got to remember to do that Sunday. I really need to organize my email folders. I would like to do that so that all the knitting lists go in one folder and podcast emails go in another. But I would say that the Macintosh mail program isn't that robust, or if it is, I haven't discovered it yet. It probably has those options, but it's just not nearly as robust as Outlook is. So I'm still dealing with that since I've only had this computer a couple of months. I'm still trying to learn how to organize everything, but I really do love my Macintosh. My Macintosh rocks. I recommend you go buy one. I love Macs, and especially after getting my iPod, because I'm very impressed by that iPod. I only had a Shuffle before, and I've had it for however since they came out, so like well over a year, at least a year, and the Shuffle kind of stinks because you can't see what you're doing, and if you're on audiobooks, you have no idea what chapter you're on. But again, I am digressing. Okay, so next up, I'm going to do a website spotlight, and it's a forum, a knitting forum spotlight. I found this kind of randomly surfing again. If you go to the Stitch and Bitch website, where it's the website for the books, the Stitch and Bitch books specifically, and the URL is knithappens.com, and if in the right-hand side you click on the text link above, oops, I knitted again, and it's just right over to the right, it's not too hard to find. If you click on that, there's a whole forum for the Stitch and Bitch books, and it's all centered around that, and I think it was fairly well trafficked. It looked pretty busy. There wasn't just one or two postings. There was a lot of stuff there. So if you love those books and you knit a lot of the stuff from them and you want to talk to other people about it, I found those forums the other day. Next up, I have some corrections from last week's podcast. I said that the Sunshine blog at sunshine.blogspot.com, I made a comment because I was rushing through that podcast because it was very late, and I said she has all these tank tops, they're really great, but they don't cover the bra straps. I don't know why I said that. I was very wrong. No one corrected me. I was listening to my podcast again, and I went to her website to look at some other stuff, and I was like, why did I say that? Because hers do cover the bra straps. So I caught myself there with a little mistake. And then for the part where I was talking about swatching for Calla, the magnets pattern, I did get emails about this, and I knew I would after I did the podcast. I was just too tired to fix it. I knew I made that mistake fairly quickly after I published it. I think I said it added up to 30, but it really added up to 28. But that math being wrong still didn't explain why my swatch was wrong, because if I had was two stitches short, or no, I cast on two stitches extra, I should have had 4 left over every time to knit on every right side, because the pattern was only on the right side. The wrong side was just straight purl. So I never discovered what I did wrong, and I gave up. So I'm going to use that wool cotton for some ribby, I think a ribby tank, that I'm kind of making up myself, kind of basing on some other patterns. I'll see how it goes. I'm just going to try to be a little experimenting there and give it a go and be more brave as a knitter and not worry so much about finding a perfect pattern. So that is all my corrections. I think I'm pretty impressed that those are the biggest mistakes I've made so far. No one's called me out on anything, so I guess I'm doing all right. But onward to what I am knitting now. Well, I've been trying to finish that Sockapalooza sock, and I think I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I dropped some stitches. I don't like how dense the Koigu KPPM, KPPPM is on the size 0 needles, but I like to knit on size 0 because I get the pooling of the yarn the way that I want it and the way that most of the yarns are dyed to pool, because the stitch count, that's how you get the really bad pooling where you get a blob of color, is because you just need to adjust how many stitches you have on the needle and change maybe how many you're casting on, etc. So the Koigu in size 0, which is my favorite size needle to knit socks on, 60 stitches, looks really great. It gets this really cool little striping effect, but it's just really dense. I was going to finish knitting them, and then I was going to try washing them or soaking them, hoping that the Koigu would bloom a little bit and maybe get fuzzier and softer. I dropped those stitches around 2 o'clock today, so I had to put the sock down because I had dropped 5 more to pick it up, because I couldn't pick the one up through. It was too tight, because I didn't know I dropped it like till an inch higher. So I dropped 5 or 4 in a row to get it, and I got that one up and the 3 next to it up. And the very last one, same problem, too tight. So now I've dropped 2 down all the way, and I'm going to alternate bringing them up 1 row at a time so that it never gets too tight for me to bring them all up. But I was really frustrated because I had done it 3 times and the sock was getting all beat up. So I put it down. Sadly, I had to give myself a break because I was going to smash something. So I knit a iPod case, an iPod cozy, out of some dark blue Rowan Calmer I had from a long while ago. Turned out okay. I did a 3-needle bind-off at the end, and I haven't had much experience with the 3-needle bind-off. I think I've done it once or twice, and I don't know the proper way to do it, but when I did it, I think I did it backwards, so now on the outside of my pretty plain stockinette stitch cozy, I have this line, this bound-off line. And so then I flipped it inside out and looked at the inside, and the inside, where all the purl bumps were, was this nice, smooth little stockinette line going through, and I was like, oh, that's lovely. And I had already darned in the end, because I didn't want to deal with it. I was frustrated. Can you tell I was frustrated in my knitting today? Yes, a little bit, just a little bit. But I was proud that I finished that iPod cozy in like an hour, and I realized when I was doing the Kitchener stitch, or the 3-needle bind-off, sorry, when I did the 3-needle bind-off, I should have flipped it inside out and then done it, and I think it would have been fairly seamless if I had done that. So then after that, I got out the little adorable Rowan baby cardi that I knit for my sister's baby, who I will be giving it to next week, and I attached the buttons finally now that I got the proper darning needles in the smaller size, and the buttons look adorable on it, and I just kept looking at it thinking, this is not really a good color for a boy. It's this pale aqua blue, kind of green. And then, about an hour later, I was walking through the hallway. I don't know what I was doing, on my way to do the dishes or something. And I thought, oh, you know, I could dye the whole sweater. Because I think a lot of bloggers, I've seen them do that. They'll take a sweater they knit a year ago and they'll dye it a totally new color. And then they're happy with it. It's like a new sweater. I think that's a powerful thing. I think that's a great thing. Think about all the sweaters you maybe even bought from the store that you could dye if you got tired of the color after a while. So, I don't know. I'll give it to my sister as it is. I don't want to ruin it because I've never dyed anything before. And I'll see what she thinks about the color and if she really is put off by it. I'm sure I could dye it a darker baby boy blue. Wouldn't be too hard considering the base color that it is and how light it is. But I think that was a good realization. So next time I knit something and say to myself, oh, this isn't the right color for them, I can just dye the whole thing and be much happier for it. So I finished that up. I got that cardigan all done. And then I was sitting there thinking, well, what else can I knit? Because I don't, feeling kind of frustrated about the sock. Don't really want to pick the sock up. No, I'm not going to finish the sock before tomorrow, the deadline. And I think after that I went to the Knitty boards. I think it's like Knitty coffee boards or something like that. And said, am I the only, because they added a new sock forum there. They didn't have a forum just for sock knitters, and now they do. And I posted and said, is anyone else behind like me? And there was at least three or four people who are still on sock number one. And I was surprised by that because I was feeling like a slacker. But I don't know what they're going to do with that knit along because it was a swap. So I don't know if they're going to yell at all of us who have not finished. Or maybe the date isn't really tomorrow like I think it is. But I'm pretty sure that it's tomorrow. So anyway, that's enough about my knitting. I don't think I knit anything after that. I think I started working on my podcast notes and was surfing and getting everything ready. And I actually got ahead of time this Sunday night. I started at 9 p.m. on my podcast, which is really good, which means I'm not exhausted right now, even though we're 20 minutes into it. I'm doing all right, which hopefully means for you guys, less babbling. So now for my favorite thing to talk about, and this will not be the last time I talk about it, but it should be the second to last time I talk about it. And I am, of course, talking about the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. So I will not probably be doing a podcast next Sunday unless I can find a place in my parents' house to do it. And then maybe if they have good enough bandwidth, and I think they have dial-up, so maybe I'll record it, but I won't be able to upload it. I'm not sure. But the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival website is sheepandwool.org if you want to check that out and see the list of vendors or who are going to be there. There's going to be a lot of vendors. I'm a little worried about my pocketbook, but maybe my husband will tell me I can only spend $100 or something like that, and tell me he'll yell at me or leave me if I spend more than $100. So maybe then I'll be good. I don't know. I'm going to try to be good. Crossing my fingers. Make all my knitting friends yell at me if they see me try to buy some crazy kit or anything nuts. So, for any of you who are going, if you have a blog, and I don't know, maybe if you don't, I don't really know the rules around it, but I don't think it's a really big deal if you don't, because maybe they'll convince you to start a blog. And where I heard about the Knit Bloggers Ball was at naughtymouse.blogspot.com. That's KNOTTYMOUSE.blogspot.com. And I know Mouse. I met Mouse at the Distaff Day celebration at the Spinning Guild, the Peachtree Hand Spinners Guild. I met her there, and she actually made up some really cute t-shirts on Cafe Press. And I think she's had at least half a dozen people buy them, if not more. Now I haven't spoken to her in a day or two, so the number could be higher. But I think there's going to be a lot of people going to that Knit Bloggers Ball, and it's in the evening. I'm not exactly sure if I'm going to make it to it because I'm dragging along a non-knitting friend, and I'll have to bail whenever she gets completely exhausted. So my goal is to be there as long as I can during the day. I'm not so concerned about the evening because I only get 2 days with her, and I have not seen her in 2 years, and she is my best friend in the world, so I have to go to her house and teach her how to quilt in the evening, and we're going to cook peanut butter balls and act silly and have a little slumber party. I'm very excited about that, too. And so you can check that out at naughtymouse.blogspot.com, and I think she'll probably have links to other things. There's another person who's running it, I think. I'm not exactly completely caught up on it, but if you want to go do that, it's, I think, 20 minutes from where the festival is, and it's in the evening. Now, if you go into Google and you use the blog search and you type in Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, there are pages of bloggers writing about the festival. So you can figure out who all is going just by doing that blog search, because they're all like 8 days, 7 days, 6 days, 5 days. They're talking about where they're going, who they're meeting, who they're going with. So if you want to know who else is going, I suggest doing that search. I was having a lot of fun seeing who all would be there by checking that out. Now, when I go, I'm going with a goal. I want to get some Kwegu KPPPM. While it is not my world's most favorite yarn, I saw a beautiful Rowan pattern that I had been knit using this yarn, and it was just a t-shirt type sweater, short sleeve sweater, really pretty, knit from the bottom up. I've wanted to knit for a while. It's in an old Rowan mag number 29, I think, that I've had for a couple years now, the full 2 years I've been knitting. And I saw one that had been knit out of the Kwegu, and it was just beautiful. And it's just like those shawls that use five skeins in the different colors. You have to pick out four or five, however many the pattern calls for, but you need to see them in person because you want to make sure all five blend with each other, and then you knit with each one gradually. You're building up the change from one skein to the other, and you get this really pretty effect going dark to light or blue to purple. It's really pretty, and I really wanted to knit this top, and the one that I had seen fit the person beautifully, and I would say where, but I cannot find it at the moment. I did a search for a few minutes on Google and couldn't find it, but that's one of my goals, is to get the Kwegu for that tank top t-shirt. Then I would like to get some socks that rock yarn that everyone makes a fuss over. I'd like to see it in person, feel it, see if I was interested in maybe getting one to make a pair just to try it out. No, Kara from January 1, I'm not going to buy 10 and knit 10 Jaywalkers like that crazy woman did. I love Kara. She is a sock knitting fiend, and she likes her socks that rocks yarn. So from her recommendation and many others, I'm going to see. I hope it's there. I don't know if it will be, but I'd like to check it out and maybe get one. And then I hope to get a few extra bobbins for my Lendrum and maybe some small amounts of fancy roving to try out, because I'm just not happy with any of the roving I have right now. The Coopworth has kind of died out on me. I'm just not feeling it right now. I want something smooth and silky and light for the summer. I want to be spinning something really silky, I think, but still easy to pre-draft and draft while you're going. Because some of the silky stuff is very hard to draft, especially while you're spinning, even though, of course, you should pre-draft. But anyway, I would like to get some roving and some bobbins, and I will resist the Woolly Winder, which is also fairly expensive. I can't remember how much it costs, but I know I've looked at it several times and thought, no, don't spin enough to justify a Woolly Wander, and don't spin enough to justify a second wheel, even though I think all spinners have the urge for a second wheel. I'm going to bring along some buttons and magnets that I got from my little cafe press shop of my Pixie, and hopefully I'll be able to hand out some. I got at least 12 replies to my first blog entry saying that I had these little buttons and I would give them out if anyone was interested. And I got 12 replies or so, and I only had 20. So I actually went ahead and ordered some larger buttons and some magnets the next day. So I have more to give out. If any of y'all see me, tap me on the shoulder, say, "Hey, Pixie," and say, "Can I have a button?" And if I have any left, I will give you one. So speaking of the Cafe Press Pixie Pearls gear, I went ahead and opened up a shop just for fun because I had a little bit of a response to it. People sounded interested. I have a couple different t-shirts with the Pixie on it, as well as the buttons and a sticker. So if you're interested in that, you can go to cafepress.com/pixiepearls. Well, I am hitting the 30-minute mark right now, so I won't torture you anymore with more talk of the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, because I'm sure if you're not going, you're tired of hearing about it. And when I get back, I'll tell you about all the stuff I bought and all the great people I met and how much fun it was. And if you don't see a podcast from me next Sunday, it is because I have no way of uploading it out in the boonies in Virginia. And I'm just really excited to go home and see my best friend Laurel and see my mom and dad and see my sister and her brand new baby. I'm just very excited. I have not had a week off in a very, very long time. I didn't get to take a week off over the holidays this past fall. I got really sick in October for like a week, and I just didn't have any days left. So I'm really happy that I'm going to get to go. Though I will be leaving my husband with the dogs, I'm sure he'll be very happy to get to play video games hours upon hours in each evening and on the weekend. So I will talk to you guys when I get back, and if you're going to Maryland, I hope I see you.